Thanks for tuning in. This is the Season Watch Pod from KEXE. I'm Heidi Holton. We've got John Latimer's Phenology Report coming up for you. John, looking at the beginning of August, and already in northern Minnesota, we're starting to feel like things are changing a little bit. I come to work pretty early in the morning before 6 a.m., and I've been needing to use my headlights. And there's been a need to put an extra blanket on the couch, not on the couch. I'm not in trouble. an extra blanket on the bed as the windows are open at night. We've been seeing mid-50s for overnight temperatures. We'll still have a lot of summer left, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be looking for some changes that are happening, especially when it comes to ripening berries and all of that. We'd love to hear from you. Our question of the week was about berries, stories of or recipes of what you like to do with your berries. A lot of folks, including John Latimer, he just wants to eat them right out of his hand. He doesn't end up getting any back in the house, except maybe stained on his mouth or something like that. So thanks for tuning in for Phenology on Season Watch. You'll be getting another podcast this week with Charlie Mitchell as well.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Simply put, whatever the weather and the climate are bringing you will have an effect on all of the critters that you're hanging out with. And this is a good time of year to observe some of those critters. We had a neat little picture of a fox helping itself to raspberries. And that is one of the things that happens. Just going over some of the August events that take place. First of all, lots of fruits and nuts are going to come ripe in August, including raspberries. Blackberries will ripen this month. Crabapples will ripen this month. Chokecherries are right on the verge of being ripe right now if you are a chokecherry fan. The white oak, the bur oak, acorns will become fully developed this month. And I think for a lot of you, hazel will become, the nuts of the hazel will become ripe this month during August. And in terms of hazel, you may be looking at them. If you have been looking at them, you will see that it is a pretty good year for hazelnuts. And we're going to have a pretty bountiful harvest of them, if we can get them before the deer and the bears and the squirrels and the woodchucks and the chipmunks and just about every animal out there will be after them. And the amazing thing is that it takes them less than a week to completely remove the crop. And sometimes it's only a day or two. Once they are ripe, they are gone that fast. So keep an eye on your hazelnuts. You may want to harvest them a day early. I know in my own experience, there have come years when I thought, ooh, tomorrow's the day. And I go tomorrow and it's a day late. They have already disappeared. And lest you think this is something new, they have been doing this forever, and it is a common note among naturalists going way back that the hazelnuts, once they are ripe, poof, they're gone. So fruits and nuts coming in August. Also in August, the asters and the goldenrods really begin to bloom, and you will hear in my notes about some of those asters and goldenrods that are just starting to bloom right now and will be blooming through the whole month of August and into September. Also, this is the month when we will start to see our first signs of fall, and that includes things like black bindweed, black ash, balsam poplar, smooth sumac, and also the spreading dogbane and common milkweed. All of these plants are going to start showing you their fall colors. Now, whether or not they get to full fall color during the month of August, that remains to be seen. But all of them will show some signs of what is coming. And probably most obvious of all of them are that sometime during the month, and it's typically just about the third week in August, I think my average is the 18th, 19th of August, first maple leaves will be seen beginning to change color. That's going to happen, as I said, right around the third week in August. So watch for that. Also, migrants. The following birds are going to disappear during the month of August. Not disappear, but they're going to leave northern Minnesota, including rose-breasted grosbeaks, orioles. The male hummingbirds will be leaving right around the 15th of the month. One of the really spectacular fall events is the migration of nighthawks. And that typically happens, the average date is the 24th of August, but it can happen anytime during the month. You just need to be alert and aware. You might be in a spot where a flock of them will descend and do some quick feeding right at dusk and then disappear. And that will be the end of the nighthawks until next spring when they return again. But their moment, the one noticeable thing about the nighthawks is that they gather into these large flocks for migrating south. I don't see large flocks of nighthawks coming in the spring, and maybe it's because I'm in the wrong spot. Maybe it's because they do it at night. I don't know. But I do know that in the fall, and it'll be later part of August, there we will start to see flocks of nighthawks moving south. So keep an eye out for those as well. That is sort of a brief overview of what will happen in this next coming month. Right now, looking around my yard on my phenology hikes this past week, I saw white admiral butterflies. I did not see a Compton's tortoise shell. But I had moments when I was doing a little reading and I came across a newspaper article about the Compton's tortoiseshell cousin in California called the California tortoiseshell. Now, the Compton's and the California and the local Milbert's tortoiseshell, all three of those overwinter as adults in California right now. There is a huge migration of California tortoise shells up the mountains. And recent wildfires have cleared land in California. And one of the first plants to come back after a fire in those areas is lilac. And lilac is the host plant for the California tortoise shell butterfly. And so there are lots of these butterflies this year, lots and lots and lots of them. And hundreds of thousands of them are migrating up the mountains into cooler areas. And people are remarking it's a bit like the migration of the monarch butterfly. But this is a seasonal migration. So these California tortoiseshell butterflies fly up the mountains this time of year, and in the fall, as things begin to cool off, they will fly down the mountain, and in the valleys, they will find their place and spend the winter estivating, hibernating, as they await spring. So, interesting kind of a feature going on out in California with a relative of our Compton's tortoiseshell, the California tortoiseshell butterfly. I have found in my woods another Appalachian-eyed brown butterfly. This is we are at the extreme western edge of their range. And last year I found the Appalachian-eyed brown And again, this year I have discovered it. And the difference between this and the normal eyed brown that we have regularly here is very subtle. And you need to, in my case, I got a really good clear picture of its wing and was able to then trace out the things that make it Appalachian eyed brown and not just the eyed brown from this area. Still a few ebony jewel wing damsel flies around. These are large damsel flies with jet black wings, and they are typically this time of year you would see the last of them, and there would have been a point during the year when there had been lots of them, but this year they had a really poor year. I did not see very many at all. The one thing I am seeing a lot of in terms of butterflies are monarchs. Boy, have we got a crop of monarchs, both the butterflies and caterpillars. I have caterpillars all over my plants, and I have butterflies visiting all the time. So it really looks like a rebound year for monarchs, and that will be good news all the way around. Some of the plants that I was looking at this past week for fruits include raspberry, round-leaf dogwood, pagoda dogwood, choke cherry, pin cherry, and nanny berry. Nanny berry, pagoda dogwood, and round-leaf dogwood. Well, the round-leaf dogwood and the nanny berry, those berries are still completely green. Don't look like they're going anywhere right now. The pagoda dogwoods, about half of the fruits on the pagoda dogwoods are they're dark blue, which to me says they're ripe, but it's not a plant you want to eat the berry of. Not harmful, but not very tasty. They are predominantly food for bears, so leave the pagoda dogwood berries for the bears. Choke cherries are right on the verge of ripening. Pin cherries are past their prime. My driveway was littered with red dots. It looked like my driveway had the measles. Red pin cherries laying on the driveway everywhere. So they're doing their final thing and getting ready for the end of the season. Among the flowers that are either in bloom or about to bloom, Compton skullcap is probably at its peak. Flat-topped aster and goldenrod are both flat-topped aster and flat-topped goldenrod are both in bloom right now. Among the other goldenrods, Canada goldenrod, tall goldenrod, and gray goldenrod are all blooming right now. I've got one tall and a lot of Canada goldenrods that are blooming, and the gray goldenrods just began to bloom. The gray goldenrod is pretty easily discerned because the flower head is kind of compact, usually not more than an inch, maybe an inch and a half in diameter, and about 4 or 5 inches tall with a slight bend to it. So hold up your index finger and just bend it very slightly. And that's essentially the shape and very nearly the size. I mean, a little bit bigger than your index finger, but basically that's a pretty good judge of what the flower of the gray goldenrod looks like. South thistle is blooming. South thistle is this dandelion-like flower, but it's usually 4 or 5 feet in the air, bright yellow. The leaf looks like a thistle. It's lobed and cut like a thistle leaf, and it has these little prickers on the ends, though they are quite weak. It's not at all like messing with a thistle. It's quite gentle. Rough hawkweed is blooming. A plant called tall blue lettuce is in bloom. The tall blue lettuce has a leaf much like the thistle leaf, much like the leaf of the south thistle. It's lobed with little points on it. Again, not very aggressive. The flower itself is a bit like an aster. It's a rayed flower, but it seldom opens up wide. It's more of a tuft of blue, kind of closed. The bracts seem to hold it closed, and it has this little blue fringe at the top. Think of this little green object, roughly half the size of a pencil eraser, kind of small and with a blue top on it. That is the tall blue lettuce. And those rascals, they grow from seed every year. And I have some that are over 9 feet tall. They are huge and have to be pulled over in order to look at the flowers on them. Jewelweed, spotted touch-me-not, that plant is in full bloom, probably peak of bloom right now. Bright orange trumpet-shaped flowers, easy to spot. You'll find jewelweed just about any place you've got a little bit of water. Let's see, common skullcap is blooming, probably near its peak. Also, hemp nettle is blooming, probably near its peak. Horseweed began to bloom this week. Tansy is probably at its peak of flower. Fireweed is at its peak of flower. Cup plant, which is a rare plant, not one that you're likely to have. I got mine from Rick Thoyne, and mine are doing really well. I'm sure Rick's are doing the same. Mine are budded but not yet flowering. The other plant that I wanted to make, black bindweed. I talked about it a week or two ago, said it was probably at its peak of bloom. I saw the first leaves changing to red on the black bindweed. Once it blooms, it sort of says, I'm done. Now, black bindweed is a vining plant, so it's growing. It's going to spiral up some structure that will hold it up. It could be another flower. It could be something like hazel. It can be just about anything that this black bindweed will grow up near and quickly colonize and use it as a structure to support itself. The leaves are fairly small and kind of arrowhead-shaped, and they are now just beginning to turn red, and that is probably the first of the leaves that are turning red for the fall. Among the birds, the crows and ravens and kestrels are all out on the newly mown hay fields, and they are they're picking off a lot of insects there. Sandhill cranes are out walking around on that area. They are not. They are without a colt this year. I don't believe the pair by my house did not have a successful effort to raise a young, because I've seen them several times and I have not seen the young one with them at all. And finally, two things. Crows and starlings both have been sort of assembling into flocks. I saw my first large flock of starlings, and my crow flock is just getting together. There are about 10, maybe 15 of them in a group, and it won't be very long, and that number will swell to 50 and then to 100, and then migrations will start. All of that's going to come probably in September. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Lots of things to cover. I hope that you can get out and enjoy many of these springtime, late summer observations.